Welcome to the ReHope Podcast. Before we dive into this week's message, we'd like to provide you with some helpful resources. If you'd like someone to pray for you, it would be our joy to connect with you. So please email us at prayer@rehope.co.uk. If you'd like to get connected with an online Bible read-through group from wherever you are in the world, you can email brt@rehope.co.uk and be a part of a small group of people reading through the Bible cover to cover each year. Finally, if you would like to support the work and ministry of ReHope financially, you can do so online at rehope.co.uk/giving. We pray you find this message encouraging, enlightening, and helpful. Enjoy.
Good morning, my dudes. If we haven't had a chance to meet before, my name is Crooksy. I'm the lead pastor here, so nice to see you. Today, we are going to be talking about what God has been doing in and through the people of ReHope Southside in this past season. We're going to be thinking about how we can go deeper into that and what it's maybe going to look like as we see God work those things through to completion. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty excited about it. And we're going to get into that in a moment. But first, I want to bless you. And I bless you in the name of Jesus to know Jesus even more wonderfully today. I bless you to receive healing in your body, in your mind, in your emotions, and in your spirit. Especially, I just felt moved earlier. If you have been experiencing grief in this past season, I bless you to receive the healing from God that you need. And I feel like God is speaking to us through Psalm 36 this morning. His word says, God, your faithful love is so valuable that people take refuge in the shadow of your wings. And for you, friends, there is comfort. That wing is strong. Maybe when you're picturing a wing, I don't know if it's a little chicken, I don't know what that is. But that wing is strong and there's comfort and there's protection for you. And I bless you with that. In the name of Jesus, I bless you to receive guidance and help from God so you can flourish and prevail in this season, no matter what challenges you find yourself facing. And I bless you to experience the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love of God today. May it be. Good times. Friends, I am on a bit of a simple yet rich truths kick at the minute, and today we're going to be looking at a passage that fits the bill. It's an absolute classic. It's up there with like all of the most iconic pieces of Jesus' teaching. I remember the first time I heard it, I was a kid, and I got it because it's pretty simple and accessible like that, but it is really, really rich. It's found in Matthew chapter 13, and it goes like this. Later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat, and then he sat there and taught the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears should listen and understand. I love that. Jesus isn't messing about. He's like, you've got ears, don't you? Psh, listen and understand. It's funny, though, that he doesn't say, if you've got ears and a brain, you should listen and understand. And it kind of makes you feel like this is quite simple and accessible, and it probably doesn't require too many neurons to fire before you get it. However, sometimes I do this annoying thing when I'm reading the Bible where I will identify with the wrong person in the story and then I'll miss the lesson in the story. And like, for example, if it's one of those times when Jesus is facing off with the Pharisees and I'll be like, yeah, those Pharisees, oh, they're missing it, man. Psh, good on you for telling them, Jesus. I wouldn't miss it If I was there, I would have get him to tell it as well. Good for you, Jesus. What is that about? Like, we're supposed to relate to the Pharisees so that then we can, like, hear Jesus' warning, heed his teaching, get his correction, and then move forward into goodness. But look at me. I'm crooksy, and I've got this all figured out already, and I don't need to learn. And how much more Pharisee can you get? Seems simple, but somehow I have managed a way to not get it. In the past, when relating to this parable, like, I know who I want. I know which plant, which piece of, like, land where the seed lands. I know who I want to relate to. I know who I want to be. And that ends up that I don't pay enough attention to the whole thing. And then the parable might as well say, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds, blah, blah, blah. Never worry about the rest of that, Crooksy. You're a good boy. You're this. Other seed planted on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. Anyone with ears should listen. Apart from Crooksy, he's got this. I mean, oh, brother. Paul, can we get rid of that? Great. That's better. Although I do this because I do know who I want to relate to. I do know who I want to be. I want to be like fertile soil guy. I do. I want to grow. I want to see fruit in my life. I want to spread that goodness to others. I want this for me, and I want this for you. I want us to put down deep roots. Yet there are four places in that parable where the seed lands. And it's worth making sure that we get the fullness of what Jesus is chatting about so that we can know actually in real life, not who we want to relate to, but like who we can actually, like who we actually relate to, so that we can figure out and discern like how we can move forward in that. So we're going to take them one by one. And we're going to start with the first one. Reminder, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Now listen to the explanation of the parable about the farmer planting seeds. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message of the kingdom and reject it. Like, this one is pretty simple. Seeds can't grow on a path. So the message of the kingdom just comes back empty. Nothing happens since dudes reject it. And it kind of makes sense that the seeds those people represent don't grow. They've rejected it, right? Problem is, just one small problem. That's not actually what Jesus said. What he actually said was the seed that fell in the footpath represents those who hear the message of the kingdom and don't understand it. I feel like when I've heard this before, I've always just taken it that the people rejected it. But that's not the case. It's people who don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. It's not that they've rejected the message. It's that a dude doesn't understand the message. And since they don't understand the message of the kingdom of God, that's why they don't see any growth in their life. And this leaves them vulnerable to attack from the enemy who comes and steals the message away. But let's not do the thing that I have been doing for like most of my life. Let's not think that this is a warning about rejecting the message outright and it doesn't get planted. Jesus plainly says that the message was planted in their hearts. Typically, we think about this parable in the context of salvation. And this parable definitely relates to salvation, but its application can be much wider than that. Like, let's say, for example, that the farmer wants to grow some joy plants. So a dude hears the message of joy about Jesus' kingdom, but they don't understand it, so the seeds lie dormant, and then the enemy swoops away and steals their joy. I know that there have been seasons in my life when I've been feeling like the enemy has been stealing my joy and my hope and those sorts of things. Like, the enemy stealing those good things away from us is a thing that happens. And if the enemy is stealing our joy, it makes sense then that they're not going to see joy grow in their lives. And that stinks. But good news, understanding unlocks growth. It's like understanding the message of Jesus' kingdom will turn that footpath into fertile soil. Like, understanding the message of Jesus' kingdom will allow you then to put down deep roots. Understanding the message of Jesus' kingdom will fight off the enemy's attacks. Understanding the message of Jesus' kingdom will result in you producing fruit in your life that maybe corresponds to the seeds that God is planting. But without understanding, That growth is under threat. Those good things in your life are being under threat of the enemy stealing them away. And if you can relate to this, this is like the enemy stealing the good things thing. I bless you for receiving Jesus' warning in this teaching. Well done. But if you are missing joy, for example, like get joy into your head and your heart. Think about it. Go deep with it. Ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the mysteries of the Father to you so that you can know and understand and experience God's joy for yourself. Like same for hope, same for peace, same for whatever good thing God has for you, because there is good for you. That's a fact. And there's even more. And let's look at the next place where the seed falls. It says other seeds fell on the shallow soil with the underlying rock, and the seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant soon withered under the hot sun, and since they didn't have deep roots, they died. And the seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. Shallow soil really emphasizes our need to have deep roots. Like things look so promising here, but only for a hot minute under the hot sun. And the sun gets hot in life sometimes, doesn't it? It really does. Jesus uses the word problems. And that feels pretty like open, you know. Problems could range from like minor things to something really significant. But he also mentions like persecution for believing God's word, and that feels really significant. That's no small thing. Feels here though that the problems or the persecution, it's just kind of like taken for granted that those things are gonna happen to people. And although we're not trying to seek those things out, invariably, they happen to us at times. Those aren't the variable. Jesus isn't saying try and get less problems and less persecution. What he is saying is the variable that we want to make sure we can change is how deep our roots go. If our roots are deep, we will be able to withstand whatever life throws at us. And if our roots are only shallow, it's going to be a lot harder, or we just straight up won't. When I think about deep roots, I always think about Psalm 1. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditate on it day and night. They are like trees planted along a riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither. They prosper in all they do. But not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly. For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. Friends, invest in your roots before the sun gets hot. Like being reactive to things is fine. Like if the sun is beating down on you, then strengthening your roots is a really good idea. It's going to make it more challenging and not impossible, but it's going to make it more challenging. But being proactive and making sure your roots are deep down and healthy before the sun comes up is going to make things easier. And here's how Psalm 1 shows us to invest in our roots. First up, we want to make sure that we have got wise counsel. Make sure you're not isolated, trying to deal with issues on your own. I mean, mentors are great. Do you know someone that you could ask to mentor you? It's up to you to ask them. Don't wait for them to ask you. And your Bible read-through group has committed to praying for you. But are you being as honest with them as maybe you need to? We also have a pastoral care team here at Rehope Southside that you can reach out to via our website. It doesn't need to be something, doesn't need to be a big crisis before you reach out. Like maybe you've got a decision coming up that you just want some wise counsel about. They're here for you. Maybe you've got some challenging family stuff, for example, that you just want some wise counsel about. Reach out. They are here for you. We care about you. We want to make sure that you're not walking through stuff alone. Make sure you've got wise counsel. Secondly, don't neglect your Jesus time. Your own spiritual self-leadership is an indispensable investment in your deep roots. Dudes are meditating on it day and night. I think that's just like wordplay for saying they think about it all the time. And no one can think for you. You've got to think for yourself. Here in Psalm 1, we see a direct link between being consistently in God's word and growth, strength, stability, and bearing fruit consistently. I mean, never mind plants dying. This plant's leaves don't even wither. No part of it dies. Are you in a Bible read-through group? And if you're not, I am begging you to do yourself a favor, and future you will thank me later. If you contrast like that strong tree with the next few verses in Psalm 1, you get a different story. You read about the wicked getting blown away, like definitely not planted. So we want to prioritize personal, practical holiness. Personal, practical holiness makes a difference. I mean, if we poison our root system, what do we think is going to happen to that plant? That it's going to grow good fruit? I mean, I doubt it. Sin is such a blockade to all types of good fruit in our lives. But we don't want that. We want to prioritize our own personal, practical holiness. And lastly, we need to remember that God is watching over us. Like, God is watching over you. And when you feel the heat of the sun in your life, that's a really good truth to remind yourself of. And as you're getting ready, getting your root system deep, that's a really good truth to remind yourself of. Like, God is watching over the path that you are on, and he is here to help you. So don't wait until the sun hits the soil, my dudes. Invest in deepening your root system now so that you're strong and stable when life throws something difficult at you. Let's see how those other places are doing now. Third one, other seeds fell among thorns, and grew up and choked out the tender plants. The seeds that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. I guess similar to the rocky soil, we're seeing a dude receive and have an initial growth period. But this time the plant does grow, at least, but it grows up among weeds and thorns that choke it out, and that thing results in no fruit growing. And when our lives are overcrowded with conflicting influences, and we're going to have a hard time growing fruit of the good things that God has for us and those things being produced in our lives. Like, the worries of life and the lure of wealth, I mean, the worries of life, that just sounds like the normal, everyday, like, things. Do you know, things that pop up in everyday life that are a challenge, like things caused by everyday life. Kind of makes it think that those are like normal physical realm things. But when we read on in this collection of Jesus' teaching, and we'll see that Matthew brings more info about the weeds and the thorns thing in another parable. And the TLDR version of that is that the enemy sows these things. The enemy brings about these normal life things. While the servants are sleeping. But God is in control and overcomes in the end. Like, sometimes we have like normal everyday issues, and they are just normal everyday issues. Sometimes we have normal everyday issues that seem like normal everyday issues, but a lot of the time there are underlying spiritual components behind them. And when that is true, not all the time, but when that is true, those things are a physical world working out of an issue on a spiritual level. And how we approach finding a solution to those things will make a difference. Too often we kind of jump to just like a logical, physical solution to our problems, but spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. In that weeds and thorns parable, the enemy does cause the issues, spiritual problems, and he causes them when the workers are asleep and not paying attention. So we ought to stay alert. And we talked about that on Vision Sunday in January, and today we're just getting a nice, helpful reminder. Friends, it's always worth exploring what is behind the troubles we face, and if they have spiritual roots, we're not going to find a practical, logical solution to those things. Spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. But the good news is that we have a freedom and deliverance team here who are trustworthy and trained to help in this sort of thing, and they're available after the service every Sunday. They're ready to pray with you, and part of that prayer time is going to be them seeking God about what is, if anything, is lying under the issues that we're facing. And I shared about this earlier, like under the challenges that I was facing with professional jealousy was like lies that the enemy was feeding me. And making sure that I found a spiritual solution to that and was delivered from that is meaning that I have much more peace in life. Spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. Really good. These dudes are ready to have your back in your spiritual battles. Although these get ready every Sunday, but these types of prayers do require some preparation. So we ask that you set up an appointment ahead of time so that when you meet to pray, everybody is best equipped to seek God and his freedom, freedom from the things that are choking you out. And after the appointment, there will be, usually will be, some practical steps to take to walk in that freedom, practical steps that are important. But on their own, they're not going to bring the breakthrough. We have some little cards at the back, which I believed I had up here, but I have taken and put in a pocket. And we've got these little cards at the back. They say prayer on it in a big word. There's a QR code on the back. You can zap that to start setting up an appointment. You can also find a little button on our website to help you in doing that too. And I really recommend this. Sometimes the enemy's going to try and block us off from God's goodness with shame. There is no shame in asking for someone to pray for you in this way. I had no shame about sharing it earlier on. In fact, I'm really excited for what God did. I have a follow-up appointment in process. I'm not ashamed to say that either. I'm excited for the freedom that God is going to bring me. I highly recommend getting someone around you to help you and have your back in your spiritual battles. Really, really, really recommend. Okay, last place that the seed falls. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, even 100 times as much as had been planted. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. So there is, again, my dude, no need to labor the point. Understanding is important. This place where the seed falls speaks to the quantity of growth, like a lot, 30, 60, or even 100 times more. It seems simple to say this, but I am here for simple yet rich truths these days. Friend, God is abundantly good, and the growth that he produces in us can also be abundant. Pursue understanding. Invest in deepening your roots. Stay alert and grow a lot. So much of this parable relates to stuff that is happening below the surface. Like seeds that get planted in soil are under the ground. Like germination happens underground. The initial growth of a plant all happens underground, and often the first signs of life and growth happen away from our view and away from our awareness. And when we apply that metaphor to our life, it's the same. Sometimes when we're starting to grow, when God is starting to do things in our lives, sometimes we're not really all that aware of it until there is more of it. The challenge for us then is, since we maybe don't see it yet, how can we know that it is happening? Riley and I were chatting about this this week, and he was just kind of joking about how sometimes we feel the temptation to be like, is that seed growing? Let me dig it up like every 5 minutes to see if it's growing, and then we're wondering why the seed's not growing. Like, that is going to disrupt that, but the temptation to be like, is it growing? No, it's not. I'm discouraged. Do you know, that is there. It's not helpful, but it's there. So we need to be patient and trust God in that. That's required in the initial growth stages, and trusting while we wait for the signs of growth. And God has been speaking to people in our church about this a lot in the last month or so. During our prayer time at the start of our services at 9 a.m., we spend some time listening to God for stuff for the church. And up on the screen, there are some things that relate to this kind of chat that God has been speaking to people in our church. And like as you read down over those, you'll see that there's a lot about growth happening underground before it breaks the surface and then becomes visible. And then we really get to see the signs of new life. Like there's also a call to be patient and trusting in that time, and loads about bearing fruit that lasts and reproduces. And like this is stuff that independently from each other over the course of multiple weeks, God has been speaking to people in our church. Feels very confirming, exciting, and encouraging. But this one kind of sums it all up for me. This one speaks like loads of new beginnings. It's new life and it's coming. It's about to break through. It's almost about to break through. I can read the excitement and the urgency in what God spoke to one of our dudes. And over the past year, at our 9 a.m. prayer time, we have invested in praying for victory through love, deep connections with God and each other, for God's presence to come in bursts, and for salvation or recommitment, and for new beginnings. And we are seeing those prayers being answered. Like, we do love each other well. Like, we feel like deep connections is a priority. Deep connections with God and each other, we prioritize that. Bursts of God's presence, yo, if you were at Kingdom Come on Palm Sunday, like, yes, for real. Like, one of those, like, I'm going to remember this for my whole life. Times in God's presence. And we saw salvation at Alpha. Great, like so good. God is answering our prayers. That's just the last year or so. But that word from the Lord referred to many years. And I know who received this word from the Lord, and I know that they have been committed and invested in Rehope Church and in this location of Rehope Church for many years. Like they're aware of what those prayers are, and then they're able to watch for how God is answering them. I feel like they are really well placed to prophesy this over us. It is about to break through the surface. It's close. So what are we going to do? Like, don't stop now. Let's keep going. Let's keep investing in our own personal relationships with God in this church so that we are fueling those prayers as God answers them. Like, why would we stop now? It's about to happen. It's time to lean in. As Lemmy would say, don't back down, double down. Now is the time to hit it. It's happening. It's almost here. Callum thought that was funny. Jamie thought that was cringe. Good times. This is happening. This is happening here. It's not just happening here. Last Thursday, I was on a Zoom prayer meeting for pastors across Scotland, and the dude who was leading it invited us to add exciting signs of growth into the chat. And I got in there really quick, and I had more stuff to write, but then I just got like engrossed in reading the Zoom chat, which is, Zoom chats are not always the best read, but this one is. So as we close, I'm going to read it all to you. And heads up, this is going to be the most exciting regurgitation of a Zoom chat that you're going to hear today. I'm going to read it off. Oh, I'm not going to read it off that screen. Okay. My laptop's at the back, Paul. Can you run up here? That's me thinking that my eyes would be able to read that. Oh, can I read it off the big screen, Paul? I'll read it off the big screen. Yo, right, here we go. SU Group started up at Inverkeithing High School. So thrilled that we have three baptisms this coming Sunday. Marketplace Church grew from zero to 16 over the last 6 months. Three Chinese students becoming believers in the last 6 months. Three baptisms on Sunday. Rehope Southside from 80 to 120 people this year. We baptized five in one of the King's Church Edinburgh house groups. Nine new churches launched through the Forge Care Network. Nine in the last year. Baptizing two teenagers this Sunday. Praise God. Praise Him indeed. Four young people being baptized this Sunday. Third location opening in the second half of the year. Aaron Baptist Church has doubled in attendance this year. And this will be a theme throughout this chat. Have had to move to a larger hall. Psh, Love that. New people coming every week, multicultural. In a year, grown from 50 to 80 and seen under 20 baptisms with two this Sunday. Your ratios there are pretty great, by the way. At least five have become Christians through Street Cafe in Edinburgh very recently. We have moved to two services in our main location to fit people in. Both services continue to grow. Sunday, we had more kids than ever and more first-time visitors than ever before. We see almost weekly decisions and have planted a second campus. Six baptized last Sunday. Two baptisms at Kirkliston Church coming up. 30% increase in numbers this year. More baptisms coming up. City Chapel growing in East London. How did London sneak in there? London gets everywhere. London think they're so important that they jump into Scotland chat. We'll let it happen. Praise God for City Chapel. Palm Sunday, five people came forward to take baptism and eight new people came to church. Have youth asking for preaching training. 11 youth baptisms in December with fire starters. Darnley Mill Church, planted in recent years, seeing growth among older folk coming to faith. Don't you love every age demographic represented? Feel free to celebrate these things more loudly. So good. Sent a man to revitalize Haywick Baptist, seeing significant growth for a small church. Need a bigger building for all the new people now coming. Have had to reorganize our Sunday meeting space to allow more people in. Victory Hill, still standing. Five new members added. Jesus so strong on our behalf. Yes, he is. Try praying. Bus adverts are across all Scotland. Every bus depot available has our ads on their buses. Here's our dudes. 16 kids at new SU group in Portree High School. Love that. We have had growth over the last year. 40 new joiners in the last 6 months. 34 at our most recent Alpha. Church plant in Aberdeen growing healthy with many unchurched families and kids now coming. Small Baptist Church in Dundee have seen six new people. I don't know how small a small Baptist church in Dundee is, but if that was one of the churches my dad looks after, that would be double. Wild. 21 baptisms over the last 3 weeks. 21 over the last 3 weeks. A couple of early church plants off the line. Found Church, Grangemouth Church Plant, 10 decisions last year. Two new community plants in the last 6 months. Revival of service and new teams forming. Seeing growth, seeing genuine spiritual appetite resulting in disciples of Jesus. Seven baptisms this Friday. Yesterday, I shared that we're having 12 baptisms on Sunday evening. And in the evening, someone told me, I've just led someone to the Lord. Now the number is 14 and counting. SU groups going into primary school in Southeast Edinburgh today. Bible Alive for all P7s. Helped to plant Take Hold Church in Stockbridge, Edinburgh. 13 services in and new people coming all the time. And first-time converts invited 800-plus people to Palm Sunday and Easter services. New ministries in the community and increased response to the gospel in church services as I travel the country, in organized events, more organizations and churches in the streets reaching out. Praise God. Yes, praise him. 33 young people saved in one SU weekend. Wild. Carol already shared about that here. 33 out of a group of 100. Wild. Bibles being taken away and brought back to school group a few days later. Heavily underlined their reading. With love this. Kirkliston Parish, 100 children from toddlers to teenagers every Friday. Wild. Two baptisms this Sunday at Livy Elam. New people coming along weekly. A full church on Sunday at our Easter event. One of our kids prayed the prayer at the end and her dad was talking about wanting to get to church. We are running out of room in our building. The Lord is adding to us at Pitlochry. Building too small. Youth group has a quarter of the school. A quarter of the school in attendance each week. SU group, 25 to 30 each week. Baptisms in the lock on Sunday and more in the later part of the year once the water heats up. New people that have moved to us from positions of disillusionment elsewhere are strengthening their faith. Praise God. Same one. So good, she said it twice. Bless you, Kerry and Jonathan. Love that. Cornerstone Free Church in Edinburgh, membership gone from 65 to 95 in the last 6 months. Attendance more, renewed zeal for the Word of God. We are planting another in Gal Shields this Easter weekend. Secondly, there's been a tremendous 65% increase in membership growth. NDOPW has grown to over 3,000 intercessors praying across the UK and Ireland. Please send the chat to us after the meeting. Please. She wanted it. She said please twice. And finally, 100,000 gospels delivered to King's Church Aberdeen. Pray for more cities to take up the challenge to get gospels out to every home and person across Scotland. Friends, I'm here for the simple yet rich truth these days. Here's one. God is not dead, and he is alive and well and reigning in Scotland. Wild. So good. So good. Churches full to bursting in Scotland. Praise God. How long have we been praying for reawakening in Scotland? We're not the only ones. We're not the only place that is happening. God is doing something exciting in our nation. This earth belongs to him and everything in it that includes Scotland and his people. God, take back what is rightfully yours. So exciting. The prayers of many years answered. Love that. The best thing, one of the best things we can do now is to make sure that we can be ready for this. From small starts come big things. Jesus goes on to preach a parable about a mustard seed, smallest seed, but grows into a giant tree. Birds can come rest in its branches. One of the best things that we can do is make sure that we are ready for people as they come. And you know that the soil needs to be fertile. And like healthy plants being planted in soil helps keep it fertile. My dudes, get your roots healthy. Get them down deep so that you can help people and contribute to a healthy environment for God's people when he brings them to us. I've got a challenge for you today. No surprises for guessing. It's put down deep roots. Read Psalm 1 this week. Read it every day. And ask God, what's the thing that you want me to focus on? Maybe that is an area where it does need some pretty urgent attention. Or maybe this is something that he just wants to boost so that what is strong can get even stronger. Do you know, do you need to find wise counsel? Do you need to renew your dedication to your Jesus time? Do you need to boost your personal practical holiness? Or do you need to apply some more trust in God as he watches over you?